Petrosol is always a delightful experience. Also brought to you by Duroplus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDP pipes and water tank. We are the only water storage tank with a level indicator, and where Duroplus goes, water flows. Coming up,
going beyond the Ministry of Trade and Industry, only even up to the economic management team, because this issue is a really major concern for both producers and consumers.
And the battle to regulate cement prices intensifies as manufacturers appeal to the economic management team of the country. By the trades minister is in parliament in another attempt to lay a legislative instrument after a failed stakeholder engagement.
I've given them enough opportunity to put on the table what the ideas are. It seems to be that it is their way or no other way. I think, God willing, I will make the effort officially to lay my ally.
We have details of that. Also, almost 4 years after the election of the Speaker of Parliament turned violent, Alban Bagbin says he has no intention of opening a probe into that matter.
I'm the one that was the subject matter of the dispute, and now I'm to preside over it. By my training, I thought that it would be a conflict of interest situation.
The Speaker has meanwhile called for the abolition of ex gratia payment.
It hasn't served its purpose, and there's no use maintaining it.
But will he take it remains a concern. Meanwhile, minority boycotts vetting of deputy minister designate for the Trade and Industry Ministry. We have details of that also.
All we need is for the swing to be dredged, or we will not hear good news.
They are supposed to dredge for free flow of the water.
Residents and traders along Koli Lagoon drains urge immediate dredging to prevent flood-related disaster.
I have lost count of my property that has been swept away whenever it rains. We plead with government to constantly dredge the lagoon.
We have sports.
Hearts of Oak are set to retain majority of their players ahead of next season, despite battling relegation in their previous campaign.
And Ghana's population to hit 37 million in 2030 and will rise to 52 million in 2050. That's the latest projection announced by the Ghana Statistical Service.
We are in an election year, and the question is, what use are we going to put those statistics to? To inform decision making, either from an operational point of view or from a policy point of view.
We'll also get to know why land is running out in Accra. That and more here on the Midday News. I am Emefa Apau. We are your home of independent, fearless and credible journalism. Thanks for staying with us. Let's dig in. The battle to regulate cement prices is intensifying as manufacturers turn to the economic management team for intervention. The manufacturers are opposed to the trade minister's ally, insisting further consultations into underlying factors. Escalating prices of cement must be done first. Well, the minister in charge of the trade ministry, Katie Hammond, invited them for a meeting yesterday, only for them to back out upon seeing the media present. Explaining why they refused to partake in the meeting, president of the association, Dr. Dawson Amoa, said members weren't notified of media presence nor the agenda for that meeting.
A meeting that we don't have a clear agenda, you just prepare yourself to go and listen before you can react. Because if you don't have the instant answer there, since it do not give you a very clear, heads up with what you are going to actually discuss, you are being compliant. You are talking about the Honorable Minister. Yes, very respectable position. That position is representing the President. So you go and listen. So I think generally, they all went there with the perception, conceiving that we are going to listen. Because since there's no agenda, yes, we're going to listen.
And so when they got there, what made them turn back?
They turned down meeting the press conference. They turned down meeting the press conference because they were not prepared for it.
Okay, so when this didn't happen, did they inquire to meet with the minister after the press left?
They had even met the minister before the press. The minister trying to convince them to join, trying to more or less let them join, explain to them why the press. But they were not convinced. And so they talk about something which has not been prepared. They're not convinced. The minister agreed and asked them to wait in another room. Mm. So after his interaction, he will meet them. Only after the interaction someone came to dismiss them, that the minister was not interested in meeting them again. So there's no way, emphatically no way, that producers are not prepared to dialogue, to discuss, to find a way of checking these manners.
That's Dr. Dawson Amwa. However, the Trade and Industry Minister, Katie Hammond, undeterred by the action, proceeded with a meeting. Speaking to the media in the boardroom, he stated his intention to lay the LI in Parliament later today, refuting claims that he had not consulted with the cement manufacturers.
So the officers have come, they're actually in this ministry now, but I'm not sure what they were thinking, whether they thought we're coming for a private tea party, I'm not so sure. They are here. They've seen you, the journalist, who would tell the whole world that there has been at least some consultation. But my understanding is that because there is a press here, they wouldn't attend this meeting. They want me to get rid of you. The cement industry is beginning to detect to the political head of the organization. I'm the political head of trade and the manufacturer in the country. They are beginning to dictate to me what they want. I don't think it is acceptable. I have therefore decided to go the only way legal, and in these matters, to go to Parliament, I intend to do. They have refused to meet me, even though they are in the building. They have refused because of your presence. I intend to tell them, well, to say good afternoon to them. I'm clear in my mind. I've done enough consultation. I'm clear in my mind. I've given them enough opportunity to put on the table what the ideas are for us to sanitize the system. It seems to be that it is their way or no other way. I think your expression is their way or the highway. I don't intend to accept any such attitude. So here we are. God willing, tomorrow I will make the effort officially to lay my LI.
We'll get to check on that LI, whether it will get to be laid in Parliament today and subsequently with my colleague, Kwaku Asante. But let me bring in, thankfully, the chairman of the Cement Manufacturing Development Committee, Professor Alex Dodo. We are grateful for your time here on the Midday News. So I missed the back and forth. You were meeting the interested parties today. What exactly are we hoping to achieve, knowing their stance already?
Well, okay, this meeting that we are having with all stakeholders in the cement industry was scheduled primarily to discuss the issue of cement regulation in line with the LI 2480. However, it's not lost on us that issues of pricing will come up. And just to add further evidence to what the minister did say, at the inauguration of the committee on the 8th of March, Honorable Katie Hammond was very clear that issues of pricing should be transparent and should be voluntarily declared by the industry. The Honorable Minister subsequently also requested us, and the committee is made up of both industry, government, Association of Ghana Industry, and indeed the chamber is fully represented. And he called on us to find ways of ensuring that cement prices are more or less uniform across the country. Mm. And I mean to reflect that. So when the meeting couldn't come on yesterday, I did approach my minister as well that we are meeting today. He's happy that a meeting should go on because regulation must go on. And as he has announced, the airline will be laid. But we want to be very, very clear on one thing. Our main interest is transparency in the cost build-up so that Ghanaians would understand when prices go up, the basis for the price build-up and related matters. We have the view that as more and more players come to the sector, the loss of demand and supply should play a role in ensuring that prices become lower compared to other countries. Mm-hmm. And it's essential that at the end of the day, cement has not become, as my minister says, like petrol. Everybody uses cement one way or the other, or everybody is affected by cement one way or the other. So cement prices are important issues to government, and government is keen that consumers get fair prices, which are transparently declared.
Okay.
That is all.
What was
declaration and transparency?
Whilst we go into these engagements, though, the issue also is about the posturing and the stance by key stakeholders involved in this. We've been hearing from the manufacturers. They say they intend going to the economic management team for redress. Going into all this and from where you sit, what do you reckon should happen?
I'll be very, very clear on this issue. The minister's call to the industry was that declare your X factory prices, the prices at which you sell the products. Once you do declare it, government has a way of asking that, okay, is the X factory price fair based on all that we know about the cost buildup, including the exchange rate fluctuations, obviously. But in the absence of the industry, indeed, there's no country in this world where governments do not have an interest in the regulation of all industries. This is not talking about price control, but rather about industry being transparent to government on cost built up and the prices they declare. Once government has that, then government can look at the entire value chain and know whether people are excessively profiteering from the factory gate to the consumer. I do not know of any country, developed or developing, where governments allow the private sector on certain assets without putting in, you know, basic fundamental rules to protect consumers and ensure transparency. And that is what the Honorable Minister has been calling for regularly, and that is his appeal. And indeed, I would like to add that the Minister, after 5 or 6 occasions of requesting this transparency, stated that he had had to resort to legislation because industry did not want to self-declare.
Okay.
So the legislation was not the first interest or action, but it was an action then imposed upon him when the players did not comply with his request.
Well, would you advise? Would you advise turning back on that, knowing that you are now engaging these stakeholders?
I want to believe that if there is voluntary declaration and if we all agree on the rules, the Honourable Minister will be most happy and we would all move.
Okay.
A very healthy environment for the industry.
We are grateful. That's the Professor Alex Jodu, who is chairman of the Cement Manufacturing Development Committee there, and we'll be following up closely on this. Now, the ugly scenes that characterized the election of Alban Bagbin as Speaker of the 8th Parliament on January 7, 2021 remain unresolved and clearly will not be resolved as the life of this Parliament nears expiration. At some point during the process, the MP for Tema West, Carlos Ahinkra, we know, snatched the ballot papers while voting was still underway, sparking a confrontation amongst others. Well, armed police and troops temporarily stormed into the chambers to restore calm. Addressing a public forum in Kumasi, the Speaker, Alban Bagbin, explains why he cannot order a probe into that disturbance.
People were calling on me, a person who had interest in the issue, to rather establish a committee to investigate that matter. And they wanted the committee to be established made up of the members who were the culprits. I had a challenge with that because I myself will have conflict of interest. I'm the one that was the subject matter of the dispute, and now I'm to preside over it. By my training, I thought that it would be a conflict of interest situation. Again, the committee I'm to establish in Parliament will be made up of the same members of Parliament. One of them grasped the ballot papers and chewed at least one. And so it was difficult to account for all the ballot papers. Now, you want me to establish a committee of the same members to investigate the matter. I thought this was a matter for you Ghanaians to report to the law enforcement agencies. We have state institutions responsible for investigation to investigate that if crimes have been committed, then they will proceed to prosecute. How will the Speaker prosecute a matter involving the Speaker himself?
Well, he also retreated his stance on ex gratia payments to Article 71 of his holders, insisting it no longer serves its intended purpose.
So it was to assist us to contain corruption. Unfortunately, in practice, it has not served its purpose. It has not been able to assist us to curb or contain corruption. And so when I made an attempt to contest as a presidential candidate, I did announce that if elected as president, I was going to ensure that that article is amended from the Constitution. I got a reaction. And the reaction was for my colleagues in parliament to say that we don't support the candidature of Honorable Bagbin. And when I got in touch with them in privacy, some disclosed that you have already announced that you are going to abolish ex gratia. So why should we vote for you? You have been joining for all these years. But I can assure you that what a candidate spends to be elected is more than what you call ex gratia.
Well, that Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, will stay a while longer in Parliament, and this time the minority NDC has boycotted the vetting of Deputy Minister Designate for Trade and Industry, Kofi Ahin Kramafo. The Achiasi MP was nominated to replace Dr. Stephen Amoah, who was reshuffled to the Finance Ministry. The NDC group says the government is already bloated and will not support his approval. I'll take you live there, and Kwaku Asante joins us. What are the reasons that the minority are giving for this boycott?
So they talk about the economy. Recall that when they decided that they were not going to support the approval of some ministerial nominees way back, that was the same argument they made, that because of the state of the economy, they do not believe that government should keep up appointing new ministers and deputy ministers whose expenditure will be borne by the ordinary taxpayer. It is for this reason that they say, for two reasons. One, because they say the government is bloated, and they say public expenses must be cut. For these two reasons, they say they are not going to be part of this vetting process. If the report comes to the floor, to vote against the nominee, and also they are not going to be part of the committee hearing. The committee hearing is just about concluding the acknowledging dignitaries. No minority MP on the committee did turn up to question Kofi Ahin Kramafo. It was a number of majority MPs. They also co-opted other NPP MPs to join them to get a full house to be able to question the nominee. They've been able to do so for a little under an hour, 50, 45 minutes. They are done now on the acknowledging dignitaries, but without the NDC MPs.
Okay, what else are we expecting to happen in Parliament, though, away from this vetting?
Well, Katie Amon, who was even at this vetting, will expect to lead this LI today. From today, he has 17 sitting days for that LI to mature. Remember, the law says for the LI to be in law, it would need 21 sitting days. So from now up until the end of July, when Parliament is expected to go on break, he has 17 days. And he will need Parliament to sit on even Mondays to be able to get 21 days. So if he doesn't lay the LI today or tomorrow, and in the coming days, he continues to lose days. So we expect that he will make another attempt to lay that LI. The controversial report on the IGP leak tip is also something that is still burning. Atatian is expecting to present his own version of matters at the committee. We expect that his committee report that he says his own concluding will probably come up to the floor. It has been listed as part of the thing that Parliament may be taking today.
Okay, that's our Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kwaku Asante. Now, residents and traders who live and work along the drains leading to the Koli Lagoon are asking for the immediate dredging of these drains as they fear any flood can result in a disaster. Described as the principal outlet through which all major drainage channels in the national capital empty their waste into the sea, volumes of waste intermixed with a ceaseless liquid produce of awful stench, as well as an awful overflow whenever it rains. Residents who have been speaking to Hannah Odami say they want the sand out of the drains. Here's a report.
The waters flow from the Bree area through many communities such as Aveno, Circle and Graphic Road downstream into the Koli Lagoon. Along its pathway are mostly sand and filth. These elements hinder the smooth flow of the waters. The country is ranked highly among African countries that are most exposed to risks from multiple weather-related hazards. Those who live near these areas and constantly bear the brunt of the flood's impact are asking for big rubbish bins while they constantly look out for dredging equipment.
I have lost count of my property that has been swept away whenever it rains because the floods render us homeless. My wish is to relocate, but I can't pay the rent in other parts of the city. We plead with government to constantly dredge the lagoon so that it does not overflow when it rains.
At the Odo market, traders are quick to remind us of the awful memories they have of the June 3rd fire and flood disaster that led to the loss of about 150 lives. to curb similar related events and to build resilience against perennial flooding in Accra, $675 million is needed. That will enhance flood protection regime along the Odor Basin and also re-engineer drains, remove obstructive materials, and implement a performance-based dredging program. But that money is not available. And as we were filming, the rains set in. Traders briskly begin to pack their wares to safety. They are not happy about the situation and have one common plea.
From last 2-3 months,
the authorities held a meeting with us, and they told us they would dredge the drains. I hope that they will follow.
That request may not, however, likely get an immediate response, as the Works and Housing Minister, Kujopo Nkrumah, acknowledged on the Pulse on the Joinish channel in April this year that his office is behind schedule on flood control program.
I have inherited a flood control program that is behind schedule. Even what we are doing is just about 2% of what we should be doing in the Greater Accra. It's a $200 million project funded by the World Bank. But what has actually been released or spent is not up to $200 million. So we will do our best with the resources and time that we have.
As to when the promise will be fulfilled or the flooding situation permanently addressed, those affected by the negative impact of the rain continue to find alternatives to stay alive and to secure their property whenever the clouds gather.
Soon I started pity, won't say a packy, because you didn't mean general minds who may hear it. Paying for them to your money will be pertinent.
You see, it just started drizzling, and we are packing off our stuff. We get scared whenever it is about to rain. Authorities do not care because they have safe places to live with their families. They are supposed to dredge and clear the odor gutter for free flow of the water.
For Joinis, I am Hannah Odami.
Well, we've been hearing from the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, and they're asking residents living along drainages to ensure they properly dispose of their rubbish. We can hear from a Director of Public Health at the AMA, Florence Kuchi, speaking on the AM show.
As much as the government or AMA is playing their part to drain or to dredge or defill the drain to prevent flooding, a citizen is supposed to register with an accredited waste collecting company. But they refuse to do that. People will heap refuse in their houses. And when it is raining, that is the time they will dispose of the refuse into the drain because they think the rain will wash it away. Forgetting that you may be at the higher or the upper stream, but you have a relative downstream. And at the end of the day, everything comes back to square one.
That's Director of Public Health at the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, Florence Kuchi, there taking us on a quick break here on the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra. In Kumasi, we are on Love 99.5 FM. We are live on myjoyonline.com, and in all 16 regions, the Midday News is supported by Petrol Soul, your clean fuel in full quantity, Dura Plus Ghana Limited, producers of quality PVC and HDP pipes, as well as water tank. Where Dura Plus goes, water flows. We return from the break. We have sport. Also, CLOCSAG declares nationwide strike to pressure government on new salary structure implementation, and Ghana's population to hit 37 million in 2030 and will rise to 52 million in 2050. That's the latest projection announced by the Ghana.
We are in an election year, and the question is, what use are we going to put those statistics to inform decision making, either from an operational point of view or from a policy point of view?
Budgets are tight and money difficult to come by. You want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrol Soul, clean fuel in full quantity.
Thanks for staying with us here on the Midday News. Time for sports.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Now, Hearts of Oak head coach Abubakar Ouattara says the club will not adopt Asante Kotoko's approach of mass player exodus ahead of next season. Despite finishing 14th last season, Ouattara emphasized that the Phobians will not offload players as Kotoko did by parting weight with 21 players. He spoke to Angel Sports.
This copy, we do it several years. What is the result? You are sacking 100, you are bringing 200. What is the result? Are you telling me if we sack 11 players, 22 players, 100 players, we bring 100, we are starting again? Yes. It's like you are starting rebuilding. You spoil demolition, you come, you start it. I think you spend more money. All the money we are putting in the 11 players, 20 players, we are bringing, we are going, we are coming. I think if you put that, we can achieve a good, strong team and the experienced team. Let us go slowly. When you are going slowly, you have 100% chance to arrive, to achieve something.
Yeah, that's Hearts of Oak head coach Abubakar Ouattara.
Thank you very much, Mubarak. Your new uniform, though, for Joy Sports is we'll talk about it. Now, residents of Noka, a small community in the eastern region, say they are grateful to the winner of the second edition of the Joy News Impact Makers Award for spearheading efforts to establish the first basic school there. The winner, Eunice Asiedwe Japong, says she has already started receiving calls from NGOs and philanthropists who want to support the Noka community. Eunice was posted to a non-existent school there, but instead of changing her posting, she collaborated with the community authorities to start the first basic school. Maxwell Agbagba followed her to the school 48 hours after she won the award, and here's his report.
Scores of pupils have gathered in front of their classrooms singing to welcome their teacher, 26-year-old Eunice Esiedua Ejipon, back to school.
In fact, as the Bible has stated that...
Here at the Noka MA Basic School, I've met Reverend Prince Obusin Tiamwa, who generously offered his church to begin this educational journey.
Because all the children here go to Damai School, and it's very risky for the children by crossing the road. It is helping a lot because most of the children were not going to school.
Secretary to the Noka Town Development Committee, James Siokwachi, shares his appreciation for the blessings that Joy News and Eunice Ejipon have brought to their community.
Eunice has been a great help to this school. So she has been very, very helpful to this school. Joy News has been a blessing, I would say, to the whole nation. They have been helping us in diverse ways.
Classes are in full swing with Eunice diligently teaching the pupils. Eunice says she has started receiving calls from NGOs and philanthropists eager to support the community right after she won the Joy News Impact Makers Award.
It's awesome. I feel excited after the awards and coming back to work, teaching and learning materials. I say, Joy News, I am so grateful. I thank you so much. I have been receiving calls from all over the country. I say thank you to the multimedia group. I say thank you so much. NGOs, philanthropists, even individuals who want to support, and I'm still counting.
A resident near the Noka Basic School, Dinah Aremia, testifies to her daily hard work in educating the children.
It has helped reduce the danger of our children crossing the busy highway to go to school. This school has saved many lives.
Thank you so much for supporting the Noka community. And congratulations once again to Eunice Asiedwe Japong. And it's time for MNJ, but I need to tell you that Ghana's population